Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. I'm going to preach the next few Sunday nights on to seek and to save. Tonight I want to title the message, Our Marching Orders. Our Marching Orders, Luke 24, 46. And reading through verse 49, beginning with verse 46, Luke 24. And said unto them, verse 46, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. How many of you believe that happens? Say amen.
Amen.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. The gospel is not just an American idea. Beginning where? At Jerusalem. What does that mean? Beginning right where you are, right where we are tonight. Beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he's making reference to when the Holy Spirit came and the church was empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the primary reason for that was, and ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. I know that many times independent fundamental churches are criticized because they say we overemphasize soul winning. And I know that that is possible. I know we can do that and go and just talk about that, and that's all we talk about. That's all we preach about. We don't preach on the home. We don't preach on other things. It's just soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. But on the other hand, it is in the Bible. We do need it. We do need to hear about it. We do need to be reminded of our responsibility. And friend, let me tell you tonight, it's for every born-again believer in this building. It's not just for me and the staff and the deacons. It's for you, sir. It's for you, ma'am. It's for you, teenager. And it's for you, boy, little boy and girl. If you've been saved, you can win others to Christ too. You know what excites me? Sometimes a little boy or girl come up and tell me they led their friend to Christ. And I'll tell you, that would almost make a dried-up Baptist shout. I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't want to upset everybody. But at any rate, we have our marching orders. Could I somehow get it through to you tonight, the power of the Holy Spirit, that's your responsibility? Don't look at me, don't look at your wife, don't look at your husband, don't look at the person in front of you and behind you. Look into your heart tonight. In your own heart. It is my responsibility, your responsibility. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That was not just to the early church, that's to us tonight. And the scripture in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. For what and why? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. We are to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the purpose of that after we get saved, part of that, is that we be witnesses. And so we need personal soul winning. Personal soul winning. You, as one person, personally winning other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes I know I deal with this emotionally. You go home after a message and you say, well, did you just put them on a guilt trip, preacher? And yet, folks, I have to preach it. We have to talk about it. It is important. We do need it. And if we don't have that right, we're not going to be, no matter what else we're doing, we're not going to be the church that God wants us to be. I don't care what else, all the other good things we do. Now, I want us to think, first of all, of this word. Just think of this word, and that is Savior. The word Savior. Does that tell us anything? The scripture, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. We just talked about the nativity recently. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. That comes from the word Jehoshua or Joshua, which means Savior. For he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. That's what the word's all about. It is the word Savior. Mary, when she referred to Christ, said, Christ, my Savior. She didn't say he was somebody that I boss around under me. She said, he is Christ, my Savior. You know why? Because Mary, the precious and sweet vessel that was used to bring Christ into this world, had to be saved. She had to be saved. She had to be born again. And Jesus, in his life, in his ministry, made that purpose clear, that he was the Savior. And that's what he was saying in our theme verse that we're talking about. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. Save that which was lost. That's a good word. Save, Savior. And that was the purpose of his advent. That was the purpose of his death. That was the purpose of his burial. That was the purpose of his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. Not that he would be a good teacher. Not that he would be just a great reformer. Not that he would be some philosopher or some great moral example, though he is all of those things in the right way. Yet he came to be what? Savior. Savior. That implies somebody needs to be saved. He came to be Savior and the universal Savior. I'm glad that in Romans 10, 9 through 13, he's talking about if anybody would believe with their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, they could be saved. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a universal thing, a universal need, and a universal application. And Jesus is the Savior that everybody needs. They need a Savior. They're going to go to hell if they don't get the Savior. They're going to die without Christ and go to hell. Not only that, he is the only Savior. That's it. I make no apologies for saying that. You talk to people every once in a while, and occasionally I'll run into a Muslim and talk to them, or somebody in a different religion, different thing, and talk to them a little bit, and I won't go through all of this thing, but basically it boils down to this. Did Jesus lie or did he tell the truth? And the Lord Jesus Christ told the truth. And he is the only Savior. Either that or throw your Bible in the garbage can. Just take it and throw it in the garbage can. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, if that's not true, then we got a problem, right? How many of you believe that's true? There's no salvation in any other. So we're right. It is the Bible. For there's none other name under heaven given whereby we can be saved, or we must be saved, or men among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other Savior. That's it. Savior. Savior. And he, thank God, is the perfect Savior. He is the perfect one, the perfect Savior. And that means that there is absolutely no case too hard for him. I'm glad that the worst, sorriest person, sinner in the whole world can come to Christ and, thank God, be born again. He's the perfect Savior, and he'll forgive anybody. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. He's able to save anybody. Think of that word, Savior. Why in the world is it in the Bible? Because people need to be saved. And then think of the word lost. How many times do you just meditate on that word, lost? Lost. Lost. And there people make fun of us. You know, I've talked to people before and I say, sir, do you know for sure that you're saved or are you lost? And they say, what do you mean lost? I know where I am. What do you mean? I know where I am. I know this address. I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. And they make fun of it, the word lost. They downplay it and really try to rub it in your face and just really make light of the word. But that is an important word. Why was it necessary for Christ to come? Because people are lost. Because they are unsaved. Why was it necessary for him to go to the cross? Apart from him, all men are L-O-S-T, lost. And that describes a deep spiritual need. They don't have Christ. They're on their way to hell. The greatest need of people is not education. I'm not against what Oprah did, and I suppose it'll do some good, but I'd like to see somebody give millions of dollars for missions and soul winning and reach people and get involved like that and get a broken heart for lost souls. Education is okay, and there's a need for this and that and the other, and feeding people and all of that, but they're lost and they need a Savior, and that's their greatest, deepest spiritual need. And that's the description that God gives us. In fact, He gives us some illustrations in the Bible. In Luke chapter 15, He talks about the lost sheep. On our visual, we had Christ reaching down to help a little lamb up. That's because the Bible teaches the parable and the teaching about the lost sheep, the sheep that was lost. He gives us in that same chapter the coin the lady lost. And what is she doing? She seeks it carefully, diligently, until she finds it. Like you women that might lose your diamond ring. You can lose a few things, but you lose that diamond ring your husband gave you that he got out of Cracker Jacks, and boy, you get upset and you go to looking for that thing. That's the idea that he's talking about. It is loss. And the prodigal son is talked about there. And he wanted the prodigal son to be saved. Luke 15:24, he said this, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." He was lost. L-O-S-T. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. What's the condition of the lost? That was why Christ had to come. The condition of the lost, the Bible says they're perishing. They are perishing. And that's what John 3:18 is talking about in John 3:16. Of course, we're familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not" what? Perish. Why are they going to perish? What does that mean? They're burned up, annihilated, exist no more? No, it means they die and go to hell. They're lost. That's why they perish. John 3:18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." What does that mean? He's lost. She's lost. Friend, if you haven't done that, tonight you're lost. Lost. You need a Savior. You're lost. That's their condition. They're perishing. They're headed for hell is what he's saying. They are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Lost. Dead in trespasses, dead in sin, bound for a Christless eternity. God help us, people, bound for a Christless eternity. A furnace of fire, the Bible says, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. Do you believe in hell tonight? Say amen. Amen. It's real. Again, if it isn't real, the Bible, throw it away. Because the Bible, somebody says, well, it's the story of the rich man in hell and all, that's just a parable. What's a parable? A parable is not the real thing. A parable is to teach you the real thing, and the real thing's always worse than the parable, or more vivid and more realistic than the parable. Hell is hell. It's not just some concoction of man's mind, and people are dying and going to hell. And so we have the lost, and would you agree to me that there's a great need that they get saved? That there's a great need, an urgent need, that they come to Christ. Think of the word winning. Winning, winning. The word winning, it's important. By the way, I got started late. I like what Brother Rigsby said to me. I said, "I've got to hurry." He said, "No, we need a new vision for longer messages." I said, "That's good. I like that. I'll keep that in mind." Rachel. Amen. Think of the word winning. When we think of Christ, the Savior, this was His supreme passion, winning. That was His supreme passion, no doubt about it. The supreme need of the lost is to be won. The supreme passion is to win them. Look this way. The supreme passion is to win them. The supreme need of the lost is to be won. Right? To be one to Christ. The supreme business of every Christian. Supreme, supreme, supreme business of every Christian is to win the lost. It is our responsibility. We have our marching orders. That's not just for the early church. That's for us today. The church today to go out. Every Christian is to be a soul winner. You say, not me, preacher. You're wrong about that. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that every Christian is to be a witness and a soul winner. And I'm talking about verbal confrontation. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism, though that has a part. And please understand, what people say is, well, you just live it in front of them and they'll get saved. No, they won't. They need to know how they're going to understand it if they don't hear it. How they're going to hear if somebody doesn't go to them, the Bible says. There's verbal confrontation. You've got to confront them. You don't just talk about generalities and hey, you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Well, great, you're going to heaven. Some of you treat your friends like that and they die and go to hell and you hadn't had enough gumption and brokenness to personally tell them about the real plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they die and go to hell. And we say, oh, yeah, he was a good old Methodist or he was a good old Episcopalian. He wasn't a Baptist, but, you know, I asked him one day, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Okay, well, great, you're going to heaven. No, friend, it's more than that. How sad that some of us allow our loved ones and friends and acquaintances to go to hell because we don't tell them. Every Christian is to be a soul winner. Preacher, you believe that? Yes, I do. I believe I should be. I believe my wife ought to be. I believe our staff should be. I believe our deacons should be. I believe our Sunday school teachers should be. In fact, I believe that everybody who is a member of this church should be a soul winner. You say, but I'm bashful. I don't know how. Well, how'd you learn to drive? How'd you learn to eat? How'd you learn to go to the bathroom? How'd you learn to do anything? You learn to do it because it was important to you. I guarantee you, if it's important to you, you'll learn to do it. You mark my word, you'll learn to do it if it's important to you. If it's real important to you. If you really want to fly and you have the money and you want to learn to fly, you'll do it. You'll do it. You'll get out there and do it. But we need to be soul winners. I'm not trying to put you on a go home, feel bad, negative guilt trip. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says, folks, that all of us have a responsibility to be soul winners, winning people to Christ. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous, that's the saved folks, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Conversely, he or she that does not win souls is not wise. When you understand it that way, winning souls is wise. If you don't do it, it's not wise. Winning souls is wise. If you don't do it, it's not wise. So we need to win. Think of winning, taking a city like we're going to do with a plan, with a purpose, with a map, with prospects, and go out and do that and catch some fish. Matthew 4:19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you Baptist. And I'm a Baptist. No, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That implies if we follow him, we'll be fishers of men. If we're not fishers of men, we're not really totally following Christ. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We think of athletic contests and catching fish and all of that. God says, I'm able to let you do that. Now, how do we win souls? And I'll hurry as much as I can. How are we to win souls? And you got to start right here, folks. You've got to start right here. Recognize that it is your life's work. Recognize that it is your life's work. Don't punch your wife and say, you ought to be doing that. Don't punch your husband and say, you ought to be doing that. It is your life's work. So how do you know that, preacher? Because God said it was. God has told us it is. God has commissioned us, the church, the born-again baptized believers. He has commissioned us to go out, and there's something we're supposed to do, and it's not all in reach. The great thrust is outreach, to reach those who are lost. Recognize it's your life's work. John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. You ladies, you men, you everybody that's in this building that's saved and born again, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. I've called you to make you fishers of men. Think this out, and I challenge you to do it. I really do, carefully and prayerfully. I don't want you to just walk out of here and say, well, we're going over here to eat and we're going to see somebody and we're going to go home, turn TV on and see who won the playoff games today. I hope you'll think about this right now as seriously as you can. Prayerfully and seriously think about what I'm saying to you tonight. And not just throw it over your shoulder, over your head to somebody else, but you as one person, as one individual, I want you to think about what I'm saying tonight, and I would urge you to prayerfully talk to God about it. Would you do that? Just talk to God about it. What would that hurt? The pastor preaches on Sunday night. God's led him to preach this, and he challenges you to go somewhere and pray about it and talk to God about it. What would be wrong with that? Number two, place yourself at his disposal. Place yourself at God's disposal. Hear my Lord, send me. In other words, get alone with God. Lord, here I am. I may not know all about it. I may not understand everything, but I am at your disposal. God, make me a fisher of men. Would you be willing to pray that tonight? God, make me a fisher of men. God, make me a fisher of men. You told me to be, and you said you'd make me. I'm calling on you. I'm asking you. I'm willing. Make me a fisher of men. That's very important, and the Lord will help us out in that. Make ourselves available to him. Philip was in a revival meeting. The Holy Spirit, God said to Philip, said, there's a guy, an Ethiopian eunuch, and Queen Candace is the queen, and he's in charge of her treasure and all that, and he's coming back, and I want you to go. He'd been to Jerusalem, didn't get saved because of the church, but he said, I want you to go, and I want you to join yourself to that chariot, to that Ethiopian eunuch. It's vitally important, and I want you to tell him how to be saved, and the man got saved. And he got baptized because he had church authority to baptize him, and that took place. But suppose Philip had said, Lord, I'm in a revival meeting. I'm not leaving here. What was his basis for going? The Lord said, go. How simple is that? The Lord said, do it. I must do it. The Lord said, this is my will. I must do it. God said it. That's enough. I have to do what God tells me to do. And he went, and the man got saved. Trust the Lord to use you in his own way, in his own time. You don't have to go out here and notch your gun and get up and say, I had 15 saved this week. I can tell you, I can go out and have 20, 30 saved every week. I can go out there and just prime the pump and talk to them and go on and on and on. And this may be controversial for some of you, but I know I can do that. But we're looking for somebody that God's dealing with who really wants to be saved, and we are able to sense that the Spirit of God is dealing with them. If the Spirit doesn't draw them, they're not going to be saved. We tell them about Christ, and hallelujah, they get saved by the grace of God. And they get saved, they'll come to church. They come to church and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. I really believe that. Ask him to show you what to do. You know, like anything else, we've got a plan to win souls. How many of you have a plan to win souls? A plan to win souls. We have to have a plan to win souls. A general goes into the battle, he has a plan. An athlete goes into a contest, he has a plan. This is where I'm going to win. Evidently, Dallas didn't listen to their plan, but at any rate. An athlete or fisherman has a plan. Suppose we went out fishing, Brother Cunningham and I went out fishing. I said, you bring the worms? No. Did you bring any? No, I didn't bring any. Did you bring any kind of bait? No, we didn't bring any kind of bait. What are we going to use? Well, we got one rusty hook apiece. Well, let's go out here and do our best and hope that we catch some fish. No, it doesn't happen that way. I like the way I go fishing. I love the way I go fishing. I would recommend it to any of you, ladies or gentlemen. Brother Cunningham has the coffee ready. I put on my blue jeans and old shirts and tennis shoes, get in my car, drive over to his house, get in his truck. He drives and pays for the gas. We drive to the place to fish. He has all the bait. He has the boat. He has the sandwiches. He has all of those things. The only thing I forgot one time when we got out on the lake was my license. And I said, Brother Johnny, I think we need to turn around. I just remembered that my license expired. And with a great deal of smiling, not really, he turned around and we took back. But suppose we didn't have a plan. We've got to have a plan. We've got to have a plan to win souls. I don't know what people think. Do they think the pastor's ego needs rubbed? What do they think about the matter of why do you want to have a Saturday morning soul winning? Well, I don't know. I just got up one morning and said, I think I'll do that. No, it's born inside. It's born down on our knees. It's born going to a conference where a church is winning souls and they're growing and baptizing people, and you get that fire down in your bosom and God burdens your heart and you say, we can do a better job. Let's get back there and do a better job. Ask God to show you what to do. Have a plan. Let me give you about five suggestions quickly. Jot them down, if you will, if you're interested. Number one, make a list. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you tonight have a list of people that are lost that you are praying for right now? You've heard me use the term, the 10 most wanted. We should have at least somewhere in the front of your Bible, or the back of your Bible, or on a piece of paper, somewhere, at least, I mean, 10 is just a very few people that you would be praying for that you know are lost, that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that if God could use you in any way to do it, that he would. Have a list. Get involved in this thing. Don't just be passive. Get involved in it. Say, I'm so mad at the preacher for saying what he said tonight about a list. I'm just going to go ahead and make my list. Well, if that works, fine. Make a list. Make a list of people that you know that are lost. And if you don't know 10 people that are lost, you're as backslidden as can be. We're backslidden if we don't know 10 people. 10 people. 10 people that are lost and on their way to hell that we're praying for, that we need to be concerned about. Secondly, pray regularly for them. Pray for them. Oh, God can do some wonderful things. How many of you believe in prayer? Say amen. Pray for them. God can save them. Three, seek contact with them. That's where we fail a lot of times. Seek contact with them. Take them out to eat. Invite them over to your house. Do some activities. When we have church things, you know, you announce those days and everything, and some people say, yeah, we'll get somebody there. The rest go, la, 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 la. They're doing it again. You ought to get people here. Invite them to your church. Are you ashamed of your church? If you are, I don't understand that. If you're thankful for your church, invite people to your church and let them have the gospel. You've been praying for them. They're on your list. You say, come go to church with me. We're having a special singer. We're having a special night. We're having a special thing going on. Please come and go and be with us. And many times they'll get saved. Write them letters. Do what you can. Make contact with them. Fourthly, be interested in their interests. A lot of times be interested in their interest. That's how I learned to play golf. That's how I went coon hunting the first time in my life. I've told you that story, so I won't bore you with it again. But old big George Allen, the way he got saved is he asked me something about, I knew he played golf, and I asked him something about it. He was mean as a junkyard dog. I mean, he didn't like preachers at all. How do you get into a guy like that? So I just told him one day, I said, hey, would you teach me how to play golf? And so help me, you guys, now you listen, you guys listening. I didn't have a golf club or a golf ball or a golf bag. I went by, they were having a sale somewhere, and honest to God, I paid $5 for a yellow golf bag. Now, I don't know if you know that or not, but that is not considered masculine in golf. If you guys got a yellow golf, you better get rid of it, all right? You need to get rid of it. And I never will forget, that's all I had. That's all I could get. That's all I could afford. And I got that old set of clubs, went out there. And finally, one day, old George, another guy, a detective, was playing with us, there's four of us. And George said, preacher, we're going to have to get you a different bag. He said, you're embarrassing us. He said, we're going to have to get you a different bag. But George got saved, amen. A lot of those policemen got saved. And now I'm a great golfer. But it all went back to soul winning. Maybe I better stick to soul winning. But be interested in their interests and keep on keeping on until you win them to Christ. Don't give up on people. I have a box in my office of people that I'm writing to, that I've witnessed to last year. They're on our church meeting list. Every once in a while, I pull that box down and I call every one of them. Just make contact with them. I believe some of them are going to be saved. Some of them have been. And I believe some others are going to be saved. We need to do that. So ask God to show you what to do. And those are just some suggestions. Be prepared for the Lord to use you where you are. You say, I don't know why I've got this job. I don't like this job. Blah, 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 blah. Maybe God has you there to win somebody to Christ. No doubt He does. And learn to be prepared for the Lord to use you where you are. You say, well, when I get the right situation, I'll try to win souls. You might as well go on and do it now. Amen. Whether it's school or whether it's at work, whether you're a traveling salesman out on the road or whatever it is, God has placed you there for the main reason to let your light shine and to be salt. Well, that's part of it. Quickly, be a link in the chain of God's purpose. What do you mean? You may not win them, but you can be a link in getting them saved. Somebody out here starts. Somebody, maybe you're the middle person. You come along and you add a little bit to that. And then later somebody else comes along and they win them to Christ. Hey, it's a team effort. Keep doing it. Be that link, though. If you're not that link, they may not come to Christ. Always remember, you're an instrument in His hands. You can't win the soul. I can't win the soul. God wins them through us. It's His power, not your personality or all of your expertise. It's the power of God that does it anyway. He's just looking for a willing vessel. And He'll use us through His power. And that's the work He wants us to do. You have to win a soul through Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:7-9. So then, neither is he that planteth anything. That's that chain I'm talking about. Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. In other words, we're in a team effort. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. By the way, there will be rewards for soul winners. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Can I encourage you tonight to make this your prayer or something like this? Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and win that soul through me. Help me that I may do my part to win that soul to Thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. While our heads are bowed, may I remind you, think of the word lost. If you're here with Christ, without Christ, friend, you're lost. You're lost. You need Christ. You need to be saved. And I want you to come tonight and receive Christ as your Savior. But most of us here tonight are Christians. Would you take seriously what I preached to you tonight? Would you forget all those other things that the devil's trying to put in your mind right now and think about souls, Savior, lost, eternity, all of these things, and our theme and what God has told us is our responsibility. And I want to challenge you tonight, at least do this. Make yourself available to God. Ask God to use you to reach the lost. What in the world would be wrong with that prayer? That is a prayer that everybody could pray. Lord, I'm available. Lord, help me to win the lost. I hope many of you will come to the altar tonight and pray that prayer or something similar. If you cannot get down here, you can pray it where you are. But I hope you will not take this message lightly. Whoever you are, please, I'm talking to you, ma'am, you, sir, you, young person, you as one individual, would you be willing to do that? And I pray that we would have a brokenness and we would accept the simple truth of your word, that you've called us to go out and win the lost. You've called us to tell other people about Christ, to not be ashamed, to trust you and not ourselves, to make ourselves available. And oh God, help us. I pray tonight that people would not take this message lightly. Somehow, some way, speak to hearts and break hearts and deal with us. We might be able to accomplish more of exactly what you want us to do. God, you'll have to do it, and I ask you to do it. Help me to be more soul conscious. Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I miss the opportunities you've put right in my lap. Forgive me for that. Help me to be soul conscious. Help us all to witness on the way. Break our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.